It's Morning Edition on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. The Rhode Island House of Representatives is expected to cap a dramatic sequence of events unfolding over the last few days by electing a new speaker this afternoon. The change was set in motion last Friday when state and federal authorities raided House Speaker Gordon Fox's Eastside home and State House office. Fox resigned from his leadership position the next day, saying he doesn't plan to seek re-election to his state rep seat in November. Joining us now to talk about the fallout from the investigation is Rhode Island Public Radio political reporter Ian Donis and Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Ian. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hello, Elizabeth.
So let's start with the investigation that sparked House Speaker Gordon Fox's resignation. It's now been a few days. How much do we know about the reasons behind this probe?
Well, investigators have not specified the reasons for this, and it certainly, on the surface at least, appeared to come as a surprise. Fox had told us last December that he planned to seek another term for Speaker next January. We know that federal authorities don't launch into these things lightly, and the involvement of the FBI and the IRS suggest there could be some kind of tax angle. Fox had paid a $1,500 fine in January to settle a complaint with the State Ethics Commission that was for legal work that he had not disclosed between 2005 and 2009 that was done as a subcontractor for the Providence Economic Development Partnership. Of course, the 38 Studios issue has also been very controversial in Rhode Island. We don't know if there's some connection to that, and we don't even know at this point whether Gordon Fox is the focus or the ultimate focus of this probe.
And so it sounds like this may have taken Gordon Fox by surprise. As you mentioned, Ian, until recently, he said he was planning to seek re-election. Now he says he's not. Scott McKay, what are you hearing?
Well, I don't think it took him totally by surprise, but I do think that the swiftness with the way this happened was a surprise to an awful lot of people. But Ian is right. We don't know the level of specificity that journalists like to have when we're talking about things like this, because the search warrants in this case and the affidavits that backed up the federal government, in this case the IRS and the FBI, that backed up their probable cause of finding something wrong and going after the evidence have been sealed by federal magistrates. So it'll be a while before we come out. The reason the government does this is for obvious reasons. If people know they're coming after them, there's always the risk of flight, or everybody gets lawyered up and tries to get their story straight. And obviously, if you're coming in on an investigation, you want to get the evidence and proceed.
And when do you think we're likely to get some indication of what's going on here?
Well, this can't go on forever. Obviously, at some point, they have to charge someone, or they have to say they didn't find anything in the evidence.
Now, there was a lot of jockeying for power over the weekend. Before we get to the two lawmakers who want to take over as House Speaker, let's look at the position itself. What is it about the speakership that makes it such a powerful position in Rhode Island politics?
Well, the Speaker controls which legislation gets passed through the House. Typically, lawmakers' bills get held hostage until they vote for the budget, and then a lot of bills get passed at the end of the session. The House is in charge of the budget. The Senate generally just approves the budget that is passed by the House. The Speaker also has control over a lot of influence over the state Democratic Party, since state committee members are chosen through House delegates, and the Speaker's office gets involved in supporting and opposing various candidates for the House of Representatives. And one other element, the Speaker also has effective control of the Joint Committee on Legislative Services, which is the hiring and spending arm of the state House.
Ian's right. This Joint Committee on Legislative Services sounds like a little obscure bureaucratic thing, but it's in charge of about $30 million in spending. So if you're looking for some patronage, a job, maybe summer position for you, your relative, someone, the Speaker has an awful lot of say in that. The Rhode Island governor does not have line item veto. A Rhode Island governor is not as strong as in some other states like Massachusetts and New Jersey. So the Speaker has more control over spending state dollars, which is really a big thing. And the other thing is the Speaker traditionally raises a lot of political campaign money from the lobbyists. And what happens here is that he is able then to take that pot of money and support his or her choices for candidates for office. The other thing, this is what a lot of people in the State House really care about, are the legislative grants that go to the individual districts for such things as fixing up Little League fields or parks or the Meals on Wheels. This is the local kind of patronage and the local money that lawmakers depend on bringing home for basically re-election insurance.
And one of the quirks of the speakership is that although this is a very powerful position, the speaker gets elected as a state rep. So in effect, the most powerful position is just elected by a few thousand people in his or her district and then gets elected speaker by his peers in the House.
So turning now to the pair of lawmakers who want this seat, Fox's deputy, Majority Leader Nicholas Mattiello of Cranston, says he has the votes. But there's a rival candidate, Representative Michael Marcello of Scituate, who says he plans to bring his fight to the House floor today. How would you describe some of the similarities and differences between Mattiello and Marcello?
Well, it's interesting to show at first how this has split the Fox leadership, because both of these people were close to Speaker Fox. Mattiello's considered a little older. He's been in the system a little bit longer. And basically, what Mattiello has done is work his way up the ladder. He's seen as more conservative than the group around Marcello. And the interesting thing here is that it looks like Mattiello worked the system. He pounced very early before the corpse of Fox was even cool, before Fox had actually resigned, which he didn't do until Saturday. But Mattiello looks like he got out of the box quickly, lined up the support of people, and push forward.
Ian, your insights about these two lawmakers?
Yeah, I think Mattiello kind of typifies the legislative mainstream among Democrats, where these are kind of centrist conservative people on social issues, a little more liberal economically. Marcello is more of a liberal. He's casting himself as a change agent who would deliver votes on issues like doing away with the master lever, strengthening the ethics commission, things like that. But one of the ironies is that Mattiello became majority leader with support from Gordon Fox's predecessor, former Speaker Bill Murphy, in 2010, and Mattiello's intended deputy, Representative John DeSimone of Providence, had challenged Murphy back in 2005, but that's a long time ago in politics, and as we know, these things are often based on marriages of convenience.
And Marcello, at least right now, is saying he's going to take this all the way to the vote, but I mean, what are the chances, if it doesn't seem like he has the votes to win this, that people will continue supporting him?
Never say never, but it looks like Mattiello has this fairly well locked down. But, you know, who knows?
Now, Scott, are we going to see significant changes at the State House when this shift in leadership happens, whoever wins, Mattiello or Marcello?
Yeah, I think you're going to. And what always happens here is nobody knows, because this happened so quickly, what the wish lists were. The way this works is you line up people, you line their votes up. It has nothing to do really with issues very often. It has to do with power inside the State House. So obviously, some people were promised things. We also have to look at people like Helio Metal, who of East Providence, chairman of the very powerful House Finance Committee, and he was with the other side. There may be some talk about replacing him. Judiciary Committee, another very important post that's held by Edie Ajello, who's an East Side liberal, been there for many, many years. She might have some problems retaining that post. Marcello himself, I believe, has the Government Oversight Committee. Usually you don't put your opponent in the saddle, basically. And this is going to be a realignment. The fascinating thing here is not only do you need enough votes to be speaker, that's the easy part. Then the tough road begins, running the House. I mean, you can just see in the middle of a session, you've got a new Finance Committee chairman, new judiciary, new government oversight, new staff members, because they're not going to trust everybody who's been around Fox. So this could really affect the workings of the General Assembly from here on to the rest of the session.
Right, and 50 votes are needed to pass the budget. At the outset of Mattiello's campaign to win the speakership, he was far short of that. Now, perhaps people see which way the wind is going. It looks like his support is growing. So, but there could be fallout. I mean, there could be a significant faction of progressives who are able to bargain for some of their issues in the budget process and for other things through the remainder of the legislative session.
Well, Rhode Island Public Radio political reporter Ian Donis, we look forward to finding out the results of the voting this afternoon.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
And Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay, thank you as well.
It's been real.